And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today it looks like Rosemary's baby is about to be born. Rosemary's baby is about to be born. You know, I picked up a copy of Chronicles magazine last week, and in it was a story about Rosemary's baby. And the man had just read the story of Rosemary's baby, and then he had seen the movie. And he said that Rosemary's baby, the movie, was quite a bit different than the actual novel, which was a very simple novel, not very complex, and it had a very simple theme to it. Now, you'll remember about Rosemary's Baby. I think it was, 1968 or so. Let's see. Oh, my. Yeah, it says, I read Rosemary's Baby for the first time in late October. I had watched Roman Polanski's 1968 film adaption years ago, but I had never bothered with Ira Levine's novel, assuming that it would have been at best the literary merit of an Amityville horror, and surely not rise even to the level of an average work by Stephen King. I was wrong. Well, so he read Rosemary's Baby by a man named Ira Levine. Now, let's forget about, for a moment, the fact that Rosemary's Baby, the 1968 movie, was by a Jew, Roman Polanski. Let's forget for a moment about the fact that Roman Polanski, his wife, was murdered by a madman. You can't say she was murdered, but the conspiracy to murder her and others was carried out, as you know, by Charles Manson. But he had his little gang go out and do the job. Sharon was the name of the woman that was an actress. She had really played in only one or two movies until that time. But she was a young and attractive, beautiful actress. And she was sacrificed. She was killed and literally a satanic sacrifice. And then Charles Manson, who's still in prison today, still, you know, I don't even like to watch the guy. He's just insane. But he still has the brutal content that he had back then. But in any case, that's the real, you know, situation. But Rosemary's Baby itself was a movie in 1968. Let me tell you a little bit about the plot. I saw the movie way back then. And it was filmed at a Gothic apartment building. Very, very Gothic. And everyone inside that Gothic apartment building, which was called the Dakota House, was a Satanist. Now, young Mia Farrow did not know that they were Satanists, but they were. And they were older people, and they shielded her from the world. She had her husband, Guy Woodhouse. And basically, the plot is that he took Mia Farrow, Guy Woodhouse did, and they gave her something to drink, and she didn't know what was going on. They brought her to an apartment, and the devil, the literal devil, entered the room, or the apartment. There they were, all naked inside, and they were in a circle, and they had a satanic ritual where they prayed to the devil. Now, the devil knocked 3 times, but they said, come in, and before he came in, a little old lady came in. Now, I didn't notice this the first time I saw the movie, but I did the second time. The little old lady came in. And the devil was very congenial, and he appointed with everybody and consorted with them. And then they had her lying on a mattress on the floor, mostly unconscious, but maybe a little bit conscious. And the devil fornicated with Mia Farrow. And then as the movie went through her pregnancy, she didn't really know what was happening. And at the end of the movie, well, as it turned out, the whole place, the whole Gothic building, the Dakota House, celebrated her baby, Rosemary's baby, because Rosemary's baby was a devil. And it evidently was an Antichrist, 666. Now, the book and the movie really varied a lot. And, you know, as books and movies often do. Now, one thing about the movie, let me just tell you, is that the apartment building, the Gothic apartment building in New York City, where it was filmed, the Dakota House, is exactly the place where John Lennon and Yoko Ono lived. It was in front of this building that he was shot to death. And so we have a strange occurrence here, where Rosemary's baby was born, the devil came forth, and it was at the same location that John Lennon lived and was murdered. We know, too, that John Lennon invented a hymn. It's called Imagine. If you've ever heard that hymn, you will see that it's as grotesque as any hymn that's ever been written. And yet, I saw on television Elton John, the British homosexual. I saw this on American TV a few years ago, and he sang the song Imagine while he was playing at the piano with Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, of course, claims to be a Christian, and she was banging forth the hymn Imagine. And they had a huge audience, and behind her, in contrast, was a huge choir. Can you imagine seeing the song Imagine sung by a flaming homosexual and Dolly Parton, who herself is a homosexual? And then you have a huge choir behind them singing. And the words to Imagine basically praise, well, there's no heaven, no hell. There's no other existence than this earth. So that's what we have to look forward to, friends. Nothing. Nothing when we die. And they were singing it like it was a wonderful, lovely song to the tune sung by, Elton John and Dolly Parton. In any case, in the movie, there's one thing that in the Chronicles, the Scott Richard, who wrote the article, The Devil You Know, says that one of the things that the book has in it, you know, the book often has many elements that the movie doesn't have. One of the things the book had in it, the movie did not, was that on the night she learned she was pregnant, Rosemary lay awake. And she was so filled with joy and wonder over being pregnant, she didn't know it was the devil's baby at the time. And Rosemary had been a young Catholic girl. And she came to New York with her husband, who was maybe had been a Protestant, who knows, at one time or another. But there in New York, she wasn't expected to go to church. And she didn't go. So she had many dangers to worry about and the baby and all the things ahead of her. And she was concerned about the new life inside of her. And she said to herself, if only prayer were still possible, how nice it would be to hold a crucifix again and have God's ear. Ask him for safe passage through the 8 more months ahead. And that was the only time she thought of God. In desperation, she got out of bed and she turned to the good luck charm that her neighbors, the Castevets, had given her as they groomed her for her, well, let's just call it an unholy mission. And none of her yearnings for God's protection make it into Polanski's film. But Rosemary lies awake. Then she suddenly rises, retrieves the charm, and places it around her neck. And this is a central part of this scene. The charm that they'd given her, of course, was a devil symbol. She didn't know it. She was just a young, immature housewife. And now she was given this charm. She wanted something. She was lying in bed thinking, golly, I'm pregnant. And now I've got 8 or 9 months ahead of me. And no one else. I don't have anyone else that, you know, is young and can converse with me on this and all this, all these things. Now, the book itself, Rosemary's Baby, was written by Ira Levine. Who is Ira Levine but a Jew? Now, again, I've told you over and over that only about 3% of America is Jewish. But it seems like they're in all of the books, the devil books. They're everywhere you go. They own the Hollywood. They own television. They own the movie system. They're everywhere you go. So you would have a Roman Polanski with his 1968 film, and you would have Ira Levine's novel, Rosemary's Baby. Both Jews, and this is very legitimate, okay? Now, why did Levine write the story, Rosemary's Baby? By all accounts, it was written because he hoped, he was an atheist, who hoped Rosemary's Baby would help to increase the criticism that had always resided with him. He wanted to increase the skepticism of whether there was a God, of whether a God could even be possible. And during the discussion, during the film, one of the things I vaguely remember was the discussion, because they had a little party at the house of a guy, Woodhouse, and Mia Farrow, their apartment. And what did they discuss? That God had literally died. You know, back then in the late 60s, there was sort of a crush by the major magazines that maybe God had died, just up and died. And this was one of the discussions that was discussed at that party, that God had died. In fact, in Time Magazine's famous April 8, 1966 cover story, Is God Dead? Is God Dead? So we have God being assumed to be dead. We have a book called Rosemary's Baby. And we have the film Rosemary's Baby, which talks about a young lady who's caught up with a satanic cult. And she becomes impregnated with the baby. Now, I look at this, and to me, this is like a movie about America, but it's more than satanic cults and rituals. You see, growing inside the womb of America, if we could see all of America as Rosemary, then we would say maybe it's pregnant. Maybe America is impregnated. For we, and who would be we? Well, it would be the woman. has fornicated with the devil. We, the United States of America, has fornicated with the devil, which unfortunately is Israel. And it's a little bit, you know, it's like realizing, finally coming to the realization in the movie The Body Snatchers, that everybody that you meet came from a pod. Remember that movie? That everybody you meet came from a pod. Now, growing inside the womb of America, Rosemary's Baby. I feel like that many times. As I lay in bed at night, as I read the morning and the afternoon and the evening news, I see a similarity between America and the pop culture. From Lady Gaga to Madonna, Britney Spears. I'm seeing all the things that are going on now. The fantasy games, the bath salts, the zombieism, the pornography, cannibalism, the fiendish movies, the Jasons and the Freddies, the abortions, the murders of the yet to be born, the witchcraft sex, the goddess worshipers, vampirism, cemetery rituals throughout America, and the killing of parents, grandparents, siblings, and others. Mind drugs, from Ritalin to Prozac to Ambien, Xanax, the goth lifestyle, the young people with their black fingernail polish, their black clothing, their failure to shave nowadays, failure to take a bath, and their clothes that look like some grody animal. And the young blacks, they're no better. They're worse with the baggy pants and going around giving hand signs that they've learned in the ghetto that they think could be related to some kind of a satanic group or some kind of a secret group. And I look at these and I say, America has gone insane. America is Rosemary's Baby. I've gotten to, I just pulled these out at random a couple of days, you know, ago. I thought, well, let me go online and see what's crazy just today. And in that day was a story of a Florida couple that had sex atop a restaurant table while parents and kids watched. Now, this may seem funny to you, but I think it illustrates what we're talking about here. A couple, very attractive couple, by the way, that went into Patty Murphy's, an Orlando, Florida restaurant. And soon he began to have sex with her. She laid on top of the table. He got on top of her. They had sex. Everybody complained about it. Several patrons did. Said a couple was having sex on a table, and we've got minor children here. Well, they couldn't get her to stop. They couldn't get the man to stop. He was 32, and no telling how old the girl was. But they had not paid their bill. And he told them, leave me alone. Let me finish what I'm doing. In any case, the police came and charged him with defrauding an innkeeper, made him quit having sex atop the restaurant table while parents and kids watched. They were taken down and they were fingerprinted and a picture taken and all that. Then they were let go. And the next day it was announced that they would not be officially indicted. I don't know why. I guess in Orlando, Florida, there's no law against having sex on a restaurant table. So if you're ever at Patty Murphy's, an Orlando eatery, and you want to have sex while everybody's around you, just take your woman and stick her on top of the table and start doing it right there. Then in Media Pennsylvania was a story about bad medicine that led a whole family to strip naked. Now, I think the story's a little bit bigger than that, but the attorney for a woman who stripped naked with three of her children outside a suburban Philadelphia high school says that an adverse medical reaction triggered the psychotic episode. Here's what happened. According to the Delaware County Daily Times, Sarah Butler's lawyer says that medications for lupus led the 44-year-old mother to think the world was ending. So she drove to Upper Darby High School in March with two adult children and a teenage son. She wanted to pick up another child, but the student wasn't released because Butler wasn't even the custodial parent. In any case, all the family got out of their clothes in the parking lot and chanted religious phrases. So here was this 44-year-old woman, two adult children, and a teenage son, all naked outside their car in the parking lot, and they were chanting religious phrases. Well, if it's true that she had taken medications for lupus and they had led her to have some kind of a psychotic episode, that was not true of the adult children, nor was it true of the teenage son, all of whom stripped naked and began to chant something religious. Now, we're not told in the article what they were chanting. I'm sure it wasn't something good. But Butler and her adult daughters, I guess that's what the adult children were, pleaded guilty to indecent exposure and related charges, and all four of them, were placed on probation. Now, what makes this woman think that she's going to get off? Well, maybe the other article. Because here's a couple that actually had sex atop a restaurant table, and they didn't have any charges against them. Maybe the police just thought it's another day. It's another, you know, what is there to it? Now we go back to America. Homosexuality. Satanism. School mass murders. We're told that in Portland, Oregon, a man goes in. He had just been fired from his job. And he goes in with a, I guess, a mask on or whatever. And he ends up killing two people and him getting himself killed. All three of them. Had 10,000 people at the mall. Naturally, they close it down and, you know, for about half a day, nothing went on at the mall. Meanwhile, people are, you know, concerned that the end of the world is here. And whether it's the false religions down in South America, the Mayan cults, or the Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, Bilderbergers, the Ordo Templi Orientis, the Masonic Lodge, or the Illuminati. I mean, there's many different groups that you can meet. Now, of course, if you turn on Dr. Field, you'll see John Edwards, who supposedly talks with, you know, those who have gone on, and other spirit channelers. Then you can go to the movies and you'll see a movie like The Master, which supposedly is the story of L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. And then there's government experimentation and mind control. There's the drones that are everywhere now, all over America, watching us, continually watching us. When you get into churches and ministries, you see sex, pedophilia, emerging chaos. In Phoenix, Arizona, a woman pastor has tattoos all over her body, profanity, says that Judas didn't really go to hell. Then at Bethel Church in Reddington, California, Bill Johnson, a pastor there, says, wakey, wakey. Whereas in another church, they're holy laughter. is big there. In the Mormon church, of course, you've got everything going on there. I mean, goodness gracious. We've got a church in Austin, a big Mormon church, but it doesn't even have a sign on it. Doesn't even have a sign on it. You know, when I was barely 18 or 19, I was in the Air Force. I was invited to go to a big Mormon church in Lubbock, Texas. And being a young Christian, I thought it would be good for me, a good exercise. So I told the young man, yeah, I'll go with you. He was another airman. So I went with him. And, of course, I was not a very eligible candidate, obviously, but I went with him to see what it was like. And I noticed that they had no real scriptural hymns. They did sing a couple of songs. And it was just a strange place. They had communion or something like it, but all they did was pass out water and bread, real bread. They just took a loaf, opened it up, and everybody took a piece of bread out. I didn't really have it myself, but I observed. And that was all there was. What I didn't know at the time, and now I do, of course, is that Mormon churches are temples of the dead. You know, it says in Isaiah 29, verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? That's sort of the way I feel about the Mormon church. It's officially called, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's growing. Today it's about 10 million strong. Luxurious new Mormon temples and tabernacles are being erected across America and the world to accommodate the fantastic upward spiral in numbers. Amazingly, these increases are in spite of the fact that Mormonism is one of the most demonic and devil-infested religions on earth. Now, I know that I shouldn't be telling you this. I mean, I'm already hearing how good Mormonism is from Billy Graham and pastors across America. Now, I found out what they do at their new multi-million dollar temples. They're not built to house living worshipers of God, but primarily to baptize the dead. Baptize the dead. Mormonism is, in fact, a religion of, by, and for the dead. How about that? Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Come and follow me. Did you know he said that? Let the dead bury the dead. Well, they don't say that at Mormon temples of the dead. They don't say that at any Mormon church. The first thing you do when you become a Mormon is go out and they let you use their, you know, records. And you go out and find the names of all the people who've ever lived before you, and you try to baptize them all. Scores of them, scores and scores, hundreds. Oh, well. Does it do any good? I don't know. They're in the other world. You baptize the dead in Mormon temples of the dead. We'll return in just a minute where we're looking at Rosemary's Baby. And I'm convinced that America is now Rosemary's Baby. This is Tex Morris. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, Tex Morris here. You know, every day it seems that we're battered with new examples of Satanism in churches. And, you know, I'm baffled about it all. I'm baffled. I don't have any desire for it. And yet I see young people who have a thirst for knowledge, who want to study these things. And they're just thrilled to wear these t-shirts with skulls, heads, and such. And tattoos all over their body. And gothic black costume. Why is this? And why is it that parents allow this? Oh, I've had my grandkids come from California, and they have these things. And they wear these things. And I asked their parents, what gives you the right to let your kids wear these things? They have no answer. They don't really want to be parents. They don't really want to discipline their kids. And so at about the age of 12 or 13, they just wash their hands and let their kids live with them. And so it goes on. And so Rosemary's Baby is a story about America and the emerging churches of America letting America become Rosemary's Baby. It's not like it was in the old days. It's not like it was in your childhood. No, we have a different society. And the Barna Group has done studies, and we found that young Christian women are just as sexually promiscuous as those outside the church. What does that mean? What does it mean for Christian churches? It means that there is no pastor that's guiding them. And you're just led to slaughter when this occurs. There is no guidance. And pastors are the ones responsible for this. Well, I have a book called Ravaged by the New Age, Satan's Plan to Destroy Our Kids. It's an old book, but it's just as timely as it was, well, just a few years ago. Ravaged by the New Age, Satan's Plan to Destroy Our Kids. Now for $15, we'll send you this book. $15. It's around 230 pages or so of instruction. And you'll see things in this book that, well, you just won't see elsewhere. And, you know, I thought, you know, all this time has gone by since Ravaged by the New Age came out. And yet, there's no book out there that really leads to a solution. You'll see chapter 13, of course, about teens tripping out on Satan, the rise of hardcore devil worship and witchcraft among our youth. You'll find in chapter 11 that Mighty Mouse, yes, Mighty Mouse, snorts cocaine. In chapter 10, you'll see that there's a Satan's bookshelf. And dark verses, underground rhymes, and bedtime stories for little witches. Ravaged by the New Age, Satan's Plan to Destroy Our Kids. I want you to have this book. And for your love gift of $15 plus shipping and handling, a total of $20. So $15 for the book, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $20 for the book, Ravaged by the New Age. Satan's Plan to Destroy Our Kids. Now, here's how to get the book. Just call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go online and ask for Ravaged by the New Age. Go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, and seek the book Ravaged by the New Age by Tex Mars. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about temples of the dead. and I was talking specifically about the Mormon temples. New temples have been built in Anchorage, Alaska, Mesa, Arizona, Mexico City, Mexico. All are Mormon temples, and you'll be surprised to discover that all are closed to the public. You would think any church would be open to the public, but not Mormon temples. You know, I prophesied some years ago that we will witness a coming together of all false religions, the Mormons, the Scientologists, the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and all mystery Babylon-based religious systems will flow almost seamlessly in a river of apostasy. They'll be joined there by Hinduism, Buddhism, all the Eastern cults, and by hundreds of lukewarm Protestant denominations and charismatic Word of Faith cults and churches. Truly, Satan is constructing, even today, his latter days church. And strange as it may seem, the name of Jesus, or rather the lying spirit who masquerades as Jesus, will be exalted by the billions who make up this church's fervent membership. Now, although they appear to be alive, and churches today seem to be alive, the billions of worshipers in these united religious systems are dead. I call these people the walking dead. And their church, I call it the church of the living dead. In sharp contrast, Jesus our Lord taught, and I want to quote him, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And he commanded, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. What a difference. We have the churches of the dead and we have the churches of the living. So dear Christian believer, have no fear. The real Jesus who shed his blood, Calvary, but lives, knows these things. He has quickened you with his spirit. You and he are alive forevermore. He is coming, and when he does, we'll be lifted up and we shall be with him forever and ever. Well, let's go to Mormonism. Mormonism provides us another Jesus and another gospel. And Joel Osteen provides the same thing. And Billy Graham and David Jeremiah. And there's so many. Every time you turn on television, you're going to find one or two or three. And they go by many different names. If you want a black one, well, you'll find a black liberation church. If you want a crazy charismatic, we'll try to look for one that has Todd Bentley at it. And go to Oprah and she'll teach you about A Course in Miracles. They're the Judaizer churches. They're sure becoming very popular today. The African tradition. The Pace Report came out, told us what's going on in Mormon churches. There's the Native American Indian religions. Then when you turn on Trinity Broadcasting Network, we'll just turn immediately to Paul Crouch, who runs it, and ask him to introduce you to the black chauffeur, his boyfriend. I think you'll want somebody different than that. Todd Bentley is one of the most popular persons on charismatic TV now. He wears biker boots, leather vest, Hell's Angels. He has hideous tattoos. He uses profanity and violence, and he jerks. On the floor, he screams, he shrieks, and he claims he's of God. Well, let's get back to Rosemary's Baby again. You know, in Revelation 17, it depicts a woman. And this woman is, well, she wears purple. And she is voluptuous. And she fornicates. That means has sex with kings. You know, when you have sex with anyone, you're probably going to get pregnant. You're probably going to get pregnant. And I think that she does, and her baby is the Antichrist. There's the father and the mother and the son. And the son is the Antichrist. And they need a system for them, and they have the New World Order. Now, when we look at the woman, what we see is that for 2,000 years, we see what's been gathering force. On one side is the Gentile church. The Gentile church. But it's invited those of all religions into its folds. And you have this church that's developed. And amongst it is a tiny, tiny group of people. And that would be the church of another woman. You see, the Bible in Revelation 17 has the woman. She's riding a beast. And yet there's another woman in the Bible. And you'll find her because Satan also wants her. And she flees Satan. And she hides. And she has a man child with her too. So there are two women in the Bible. One is the New Jerusalem. And one is the Old Jerusalem. The Old Jerusalem is bound up in Revelation 17. The woman who fornicates. The woman who has the voluptuous body. It says that she's drunken with the blood of the saints of Jesus and the martyrs of the saints. And she rides the beast. And interestingly enough, in Isaiah 26, and Jesus talks about them as well in the New Testament, the church has birth pangs. And interestingly enough, Rosemary's baby, this woman that rides the beast, seems to also have birth pangs. And the baby to be born in this woman is Satan's spawn. Now, people are abandoning traditional Christian America for, well, let's face it, for the Gothic Dakota House in New York, where you're going to meet urbane, literate people. And the beast literally is slouching toward Bethlehem. And that's where we have Rosemary's baby. Now, when we look at America, we see things that we've never really saw before. In my book, Ravaged by the New Age, you see David Spangler. David Spangler is one of the world's most prominent occult theologians. He calls Lucifer the light of the world. He says the light that reveals to us the path to Christ comes from Lucifer. Christ is the same force as Lucifer. Well, you're sure wrong about that, Mr. Spangler. I don't know where you got that, but you didn't get it from the Bible. Now, everywhere you turn today, you're going to find out about Lucifer. For example, the late Edgar Cayce, who wrote a number of books that have been devoured by today's New Agers, was yet another who professed Lucifer as an angel of light. Now, Edgar Cayce taught Bible study and adult Sunday school for his whole life. Yet he laughed at Christians who identified Lucifer as evil. He said Lucifer is simply the morning star. And if we have Lucifer in our souls, says the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which perpetuates Cayce's writings, we have Lucifer in our souls. we will have God within. Dane Rudyard is another. His book, Occult Preparations for the New Age, is a big bestseller. Now, he stresses that man must link up with fallen angels. Who would this be? The fallen angels. That's the occult brotherhood of spirits in the unseen world. Well, according to Rudyard, the occult preparations for the New Age will succeed in bringing about a new world, a one world, a truly organized global community. And then men will see the dawning of the new millennium and a combining of two forces. What are these two forces? Well, one of them is called Sanat. The other is called Satan. But Rudyard does not really think that Satan is the devil. So here we have people who believe that Lucifer is just another angel, that Satan is not the devil in the Bible. Rudyard admits that the one who many call Satan or Sanat is simply the flip side of the one known by men throughout history as Satan. Boy, Vera Stanley Alder, a well-known New Age occultist, wrote that Sanat, S-A-N-A-T, you can see a little misspelling of words there to get to Satan, is the Lord of the world. He comes to earth from a far-off planet. In her book, The Initiation of the World, she praises Satan. She declares that it's he, Satan, who is the primary ray of deity. Well, we probably wouldn't fall for that, would we? Would you believe that Satan is the primary source of deity? I really don't think so. That's why we don't fall for Ramtha, a 35,000-year-old, much-reincarnated spirit who comes from Seattle spirit channeler Jay-Z Knight. By the way, Ramtha has said, in the seed of Lucifer lies God and divinity. Jose Arguelles, a professor who from New Mexico who organizes the really successful Harmonic Convergence way back in 1987, in which hundreds of thousands of New Age faithful around the globe called on Lucifer or Pan for a response, said Pan is equated with Satan and life's baser aspect. Pan is known in mythology as the horned god. In Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, Pan is one of the exalted names. Well, we know who Pan is, and we know who Lucifer is, and we know who Satan is, don't we? We don't really need to know about them. Lately, they've got a new thing going in the New Age. It has to do with the Jewish Kabbalah. In the Jewish Kabbalah, you see, there's a God, but he has many manifestations. And this God is both good and evil. So, for example, all things praise God and bless God. Evil too blesses God. Well, that's according to a Catholic witchcraft priest, Matthew Fox. Think about that. All things praise God. Evil too praises God. Tragic evil, says Matthew Fox, is redeemed by beauty. Really? Can tragic evil be redeemed by duty? To achieve its power, evil itself must become part of our dialectical way of living. Wow. You've got to live dialectically. You've got to live both with good and evil. So God is darkness and God is light. And you can't reach the deepest side of God until you know the darkness. You know, This is almost too good. It's almost too easy. Well, one of the books that's been written is called Original Blessing by Matthew Fox. Original Blessing. It's a best-selling book, demonically inspired, Antichrist book, Original Blessing. See, you've heard about the original sin. Well, this is Original Blessing. And Jesus, of course, in this concept of original blessing, is a God. But he's not the God. But the devil is a special being. Now, it's interesting that you have the shadow, the beast, the devil. And you don't try to get rid of the devil. You just accept him, embrace him, and then you try to bring in the light. So you recognize the devil as an aspect of yourself. He is the shadow who functions as a teacher and initiator, providing us with the greatest gift of all, self-understanding. Isn't that amazing? You have the shadow, the beast, the devil. Then you have the light. And that's really what the New Age is all about, isn't it? You have the devil and you have God. And these are the kinds of things that our young people are learning in school now. These are the kind of things they're learning in churches today. These are the evil New Age influences on our youth. So you see, sorcery, shamanism, magic, wizardry, enchantments, charms. The kids said they don't see anything wrong with it. Think about that. Hindu gurus, American Indian medicine men. They don't think that there's anything wrong with it. And these are satanic agents of a new era, my friend. Witchcraft, it's so common today. And in every high school in America, there's a witch or people into witchcraft. And they don't think there's anything wrong with it. And they defy you or your children to show them anything. They're sorcerers, shamans, magicians. What they have for you is called earth magic. They worship nature and the goddess. They have herbal cures and portions. And sometimes they engage in ritual lesbian or other sex acts. Then you have clairvoyance, oracular magic, soothsaying, fortune telling, divination, prognostication. So clairvoyance and other agents of Satan foretell events and prophesy without benefit of the Holy Spirit. They're either actually messages they receive from demons or from their own imaginations. Then you have spirit channeling, necromancy, mediumism, spiritualism, astral travel, communication with the dead. And this is just amazing. Now, what about spirit channelers? They allow invisible spirits to speak through their mouths. The Ouija board, the crystals, are examples of demon communication, as is so-called psychic surgery. Then you have astrology and stargazing. These are sort of out now. But every once in a while, you still come across people who believe in astrology or stargazing. And what do they believe? Well, they believe that there is an influence of stars and star constellations and planetary bodies upon human behavior and events. And in the Bible, you hear quite a bit about this. It's called observing times. Now, in the Bible, we have Bible doctrine. It's God's will. That's what tells us what will be in our future? God's will, not the stars. The Bible plainly teaches that the heavens declare the glory of God. So if somebody comes up to you and says, well, the Bible teaches astrology, you can say for Tex Mars, it does not teach astrology. There is no cause for human behavior that a big rock up in space can cause. Please believe me. Well, New Age astrology involves not only the simple readings of horoscopes, but also the worship of mythological gods, goddesses, and creatures of the zodiac, and even the ancient pagan mythologies. And, you know, to make these real, these astrology demons, they're everywhere. You go to Washington, D.C., you're going to see astrology. You go to the Fed Reserve Board building, look up in the ceiling, you're going to see a big astrological sign there. And much, much more New Age occultism. Tarot cards, palmistry, levitation, telepathy, occult numerology, hypnosis, ecstatic dancing, fantasy role-playing games, firewalking, satanic symbols, Egyptian magic, pendulums, UFOs, yoga. It seems to never cease. I mean, there's everything you'd want. And a lot you don't want. Well, so what we have is a devil going too far, dear friends. And Rosemary's baby has been born. And now we're all caught up in it. We're all wrapped up in magic. And it's nothing at all to run into somebody and she has on, you know, beautiful jewelry and you say, oh, what a gorgeous necklace. And she says, oh yes, this is, you know, teaches me the power of the wind or, you know, there's all kind of fantastic stories. And people believe in all of these things. Let me read to you in the minute or so we've got left. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions, and destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. But verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, verse 12 says, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They're natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. This is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in during the same time each week and discover the power of prophecy.